Autosi ansaitsee täydet pinnat. Palkitse siis itsesi ja autosi turvallisilla Michelin kesärenkailla. Valikoimastamme löydät myös pätevät vaihtoehdot budjettiluokkaan. Katso lisää euromaster.fi.
Euromaster. Renkaat ja autohuolto.
Näin on torstai jälleen vierähtänyt ja sehän tarkoittaa sitä, että uusi Kimanttia-show on täällä. Ja tänään meillä Kimanttia-podissa on heti alkuun merkittävä vieras, mutta ennen kuin otamme vierasta sisään, niin toinen hostimme ja puheammattilainen Filadelfiasta, Kimmo Timonen, pääsee ääneen. Hyvää huomenta.
Varsinainen puheammattilainen, välillä menee monet kielet sekaisin, mutta täällä ollaan ja keskiviikkoa vietetään ja vaimo tulee tänään Suomi-lomalta kotiin, niin koti-isän hommat loppuu, eli siivous ja pyykkäys ja ruuanlaitto, niin tänään on Kimmolla juhlapäivä.
Timonen, joka saa toisena tämän kannun. Se on Kimmo Timonen, joka saa toisena tämän kannun.
Näin tunnarin taakse jää sitten se tosi seikka, että kun vaimo on kotona, niin Kimmo Timonen ei siivoa, ei laita ruokaa, eikä tee mitään muutakaan normaalia.
Kyllä minä joskus joudun. Ei se ihan näin helppo ole, mutta sanotaan, että ei joka päivä.
No niin, ei aivan joka päivä. Meillä on tänään vähän kiire aikataulu tämän alun kanssa, kun minä olen täällä sählännyt ja minä voin myöntää, että minä olen sählännyt. Mutta sehän ei meitä sinällään hirveästi koske, koska kello on 8 aamulla teillä siellä ja meidän vieraamme tulee tänään Pohjois-Amerikan maaperältä, niin hän on herännyt samaan aikaan ja tänään Kimanttia kuuntelijoille tiedoksi, että vaihdamme Kimmo Timosen toiseen kotimaiseen kieleen hetken kuluttua, eli englannin kieleen.
Kyllä, kyllä.
Ja tästä mä painan näin ja...
Okay, now I do.
Now you do. You're hearing us.
Oh, okay. Oh, you there?
I'm here.
Annie.
I made it.
Oh.
What you do?
I thought you were the last guy that using WhatsApp.
I am, but the kids use it for the, the hockey mom. So I'm the hockey mom. So I looked on the app and I had the little number, the red number, like, hey, you have a call.
Okay. Well that.
Hey, Billy.
Go ahead.
All these years when we have a guest, I do a little introduction. So can I do a little introduction now?
Yeah, it's your show.
All right, here. All right. This next guest is a really good friend of mine, and I have known him since I played for TPS Turku 1994-1995. There's actually a funny story about that game, but I can tell you that later. I have been on the ice with our guest. He's a hardworking guy, and he's got actually a pretty good wrist shot, but to be honest and real, that was it. He's had a long career with hockey. First an agent for years, then an assistant GM for Columbus Blue Jackets, and now the boss of Florida Panthers. Thanks for making me a lot of money throughout my career, and welcome to our Kimanttia podcast, Mr. Bill Sino.
Kiitos.
Kiitos. Hey, nice win last night. Well needed.
Yeah, much needed win. Thank you. The guys are... We have a little bit of a flu running through the team. And so guys are, like, after the game, it was like old folks home in the locker room. Everybody was
really
fatigued, tired, and
drinking
lots of fluids. Seemed like everybody needs to get some rest. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went through I typed your name to the Wikipedia last night, and I didn't actually know that you were born in Pittsburgh. That's new info. Wow. I know you lived in Milwaukee for a while, but I didn't know you were born in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I lived there till I was like two. Did you ever see the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray?
Yeah.
So that's a real town in the United States, Punxsutawney. That's where my dad's from. It's near Pittsburgh, and that's a place where they have a custom. There's a groundhog that if he comes out and it's a cloudy day
yeah.
and six more weeks of winter, or the sunny. If he sees a shadow, then there's like 4 weeks. I forget. I should know that.
With all the major sports in U.S., Bill, your dad played American football, did he?
Yeah.
He played there. Did you grow up being a fan of Steelers, or did you follow hockey as a youngster?
No, I followed American football mostly. My father actually played college football at Pitt and basketball. And one of our neighbors, they flooded the backyard, and we didn't skate. We wore boots. I must have been 4 years old. So that was like in one school, and then I switched schools. And when I got to that school, there was one kid who played hockey and invited me to the park. And then I said, I play hockey. And he said, oh, me too. Why don't you come? So I came, and he had skates. So I was like, uh-oh, what is this? So I said, Dad, I need skates.
Yeah.
So he went to the store, got skates, and it's pretty funny. They were like, there's not really any hockey in Milwaukee. Kimo, you know that.
Yeah, and yeah.
They were like felt. They were leather with like felt on the inside, like a man's shoe. So he bought the skates, gave them to me, and then I put them on, and like, I didn't know how to skate, but then I couldn't skate at all. So he brought them back, and the guy says, you need to have those skates sharpened. My dad's sharpened. They're brand new. I do not. So that explains a lot.
Yeah. So you went, I know this because I know you so well. So you went to Yale University, right?
Yeah.
Did you play hockey there?
Yeah, I did. I was on the team. Let's call it that. No, but you know, my last couple of years.
Oh, as a water boy? In,
coffee boy. We had some pretty good players. Randy Wood, Bob Kudelski.
Yeah.
Bobby Logan, Mike O'Neill, goalie from Tappara.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mike O'Neill. Yeah.
So we had, I think we had five guys play an NHL game from our team in 1986-87, which is pretty good.
So I know you played some games in Europe too, right? I got that right?
You remember me, don't you?
Hey, but I do remember the story. You have to tell the listeners the story about when you played in Salpa. Well, the story when you actually people ask you where you played and you... that story. So when you said where you played and you forget to, you know, mention the letter L... And he actually, you're gonna tell people that story.
We're in world championships. I forget where I was with Yarmo, and we're with a bunch of guys. And yeah, where'd you play? Oh, I played in Finland. Where'd you play? And I say, oh, I played in Sarajevo. Where's Sarajevo? And the one guy goes, oh, I remember you. Oh, okay, great.
I know.
Sorry, I can't pronounce it very well. I don't speak Finnish.
it's called Salonpallo, Salpa.
Yeah.
But I talked to Jarmo a little bit last night about this, and he said, Billy, people asked Billy where you played. And he was like, forgetting the letter L. So it turns into called Saipa. So not Salpa. He played in Saipa.
In my dream.
You're the only U.S. hockey player that dreams playing in Saipa.
Maybe we had a game in that Laperon the rink.
Yeah, I know. So, hey, we can move on to your agent. What What made you become the a hockey agent?
And how did you end up with Mare?
Actually,
yeah, and Mare too.
Actually, my dream was to work in the management. When I was a kid, I had a chance. I was a bat boy. You know, I worked in the clubhouse for the Milwaukee Brewers for the baseball team.
Yeah.
And the GM was very, very kind to me and taught me a lot. Pushed me about going to university, pushed me about school, introduced me to scouting and how important it was, and really exposed me to a lot of this sports management. This was back in 1981. I think I started 81, 82, something like that. And that was my dream. I knew I wasn't going to be good enough to play. So when I got out of college and I had a chance to go over to Europe and play in those lower leagues, which, by the way, Salpa was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The people were fantastic. And for a guy like me to be able to be, to be able to live in a place like Finland and be exposed to the hockey and the people in 1987, that was a real privilege. I'm still buddies with those guys. Still, Mika Aitio and Kimmo Saarinen, I still keep in touch with those guys, and just such quality people and a great time. Juhani Wallstedt was our coach. and so I learned a lot. I really had a great, great experience. But when I came back, I went to law school. I had been working for this Wall Street law firm, and went to law school at Wisconsin, which is a pretty significant university team and program.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I wanted to get into the NHL on the management side. But when I got out, I had an opportunity first to go be a lawyer, and second to I had to pay my bills. I had to pay my loans. So it wasn't like I could go be a scout. So I started representing a couple of guys who had played there, but I was still mostly a lawyer. And as there weren't that many agents at the time, and I got a few phone calls from people. Hey, would you work with me? And it was small. I met Jarmo at World Championships '95. I think then shortly thereafter, he became GM in IFK, and he introduced me to Mare. And then Mare and I hit it off. And I don't know, I must have met you a month later.
Yeah.
We had a few guys in US, but that's how it happened. It worked great because we all had the passion for hockey.
Yeah.
Was it the hard choice for you to leave the work at law doing as a proper job, if you get what I recall here, to just turn into a hockey agent?
Yeah, it was a huge risk. I had a pretty significant opportunity in the legal world, and I was pretty good at it. I enjoyed it, but this was my passion. I mean, Kime, when you lifted the cup, I cried. Who gets to do that for a job?
Well, maybe you someday with the boss of Florida Panthers, hopefully.
That's our job.
Then
dream like that is, it's something.
It's kind of funny. I forgot to tell the story about when we met the first time. And when I was playing for TPS Turku, and I heard Mare told me the story that he, on the way to the game, he was like, okay, we got to go see this guy, young guy. He's kind of upcoming defenseman, kind of small, but I think he can be a good player. And Mare called me that day, okay, Billy's coming in to check you out and stuff like that. So game started. Yursinov put me the fourth line winger. Not the defenseman. So I remember seeing you after the game, and you go, "I thought you were a defenseman." I said, "Yeah, I am, but you should have wanted to use me as a forward line winger tonight."
There was a good Jersey story with Sammy Salo, like,
yeah, similar, yeah.
He benched him, or Sammy, he was afraid to say something to Jersey, or I forget what it was.
Yeah,
but we had fun. That was awesome.
But with Jarmo, I know you guys are close friends and worked together for a long time. Was that the first time you met Jarmo in the World Championship, and then you hit it off, and then you stayed friends? Is that the way it worked?
Yeah. Because you know, you meet Jarmo at first, and for whatever reason, you know, we hit it off, and you start talking hockey, and this is a smart guy. Everything happened so quickly. Like, mm-hmm. That was spring, and then back then, I don't even think we had mobile phones yet.
Yeah.
So you talk a couple of times, and next thing you know, he says, "Hey, I'm going to be GM in IFK." What? Mm. Oh. And then it just kind of took off.
Yeah.
And it was rather quickly than what it was the next year. I think you went.
Mm.
Rafu and Timmy and.
How many years you were an agent?
22, I think.
So you have a good perspective. What do you need to have to become a good agent?
Oh, boy. Well, when we first started, the contracts weren't all form contracts.
Yeah.
So you draft whatever contract you wanted. So that was very, very helpful. You could put things into contracts. You could be creative. You could draft contracts to get chances for guys. Mm-hmm. So maybe there was a GM who really didn't know. For example, you call me now and say, "Hey, I think I can still play." Say, "Hey, Kimo, I think you can too, but we're not sure." Okay, well, let's make a contract that works for both sides. Mm-hmm. Well, we can't do that anymore, right? Like, you come in, you're going to be on the cap. We have to keep you. It's going to affect us in areas that we can't control. So that was one way. That's kind of out the window. Now, I think the most important thing is understanding what the best decision is for the player's career.
Uh-huh.
And the money's going to come. You have arbitration. The markets are pretty defined. So the three of us right now could pretty much go through any player in the league and kind of tell you within probably 15% of what his next contract is going to be.
Yeah.
And it really, even on the open market, there might be one team that says, "Oh, I'm going to pay you so much more than probably what the market is," if you will. But mm-hmm. It's probably only one, because there's probably only one team or two teams that have the room.
Yeah.
And they're probably not real competitive teams right now. So for the most part, you have a pretty good idea of what the numbers are going to be.
Yeah.
But I think from the agent world, especially for the younger guys, it's make those money decisions that give the player the best chance to succeed, really, mm-hmm. really in the short run.
Yeah.
And the money's going to come. And I think the smart ones do that.
Okay.
Well,
you're missing anything about being an agent?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every day. Sure, you miss the camaraderie. You miss, you know, you miss being your own boss. You miss not, you know, you can make your own schedule. You can, you know, sure, there's so many really rewarding parts to that job. Mm-hmm. Agents, like, they do a really, really good service for the players, and they help them a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good job, and you know, the agents serve a vital role in our industry, and they do a lot of good.
So I do remember you and Mare and Simo. You know, you guys were a big help, you know, when I go back and think about my career. So I do really think that the agents are, you know, they're friends for the players, and they should be, you know, there's tough times and there should be somebody to call. Instead of you calling your parents or friends, there should be an agent who to call. And you guys were there for me. So that was huge.
Thank you. And I think it's important, too, that you can talk about the hockey. And sometimes you have to tell the guy. Mm-hmm. I think the coach is right.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to have those hard conversations with somebody that you trust, that you know is going to tell you the truth for your own good without an agenda.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I have a couple of questions for Bill from this agent time. And first one comes out with about the player evaluation. Like, if you go back like 20 years, was it all about eye test? Because nowadays you get all those data and numbers about players and you can see where they are succeeding and when they are not succeeding. But was it all about eye test at when you started?
Well, mostly, yes. But there were some things that made, you know, like, okay, the advanced analytics weren't out there. But there were certainly players who consistently put up numbers who might pass the eye test. The best example was Tim Thomas, right? So the scouts would watch him and say, well, he's non-traditional. Boy, he doesn't really look like, I don't know. Boy, oh boy, he's over. But then he goes like 947 in Swedish League.
Yeah.
It was like 929 in SM League. And you're like, well, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Now, he had pretty good defense in front of him, but still. Right? So, so in a way, those numbers or that data was being relied upon.
So, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, you know, it didn't exist as much. So, yes, it was much more of an eye test. And as an agent, you tend to see a lot of the good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, think about how good these players are. You're thinking about players for the National Hockey League. You're already in the 99th percentile of the players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, they're way, way, way better than pretty good. We're talking about national team players. We're talking about a Finnish national team with no NHL players that won the gold a couple of years ago. They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to find the good and then to believe in it. And who's to say that, like, so much of it also is maybe the good is in there. And then it's the environment or how they're used or what happens once players get here. That's going to affect what comes out of the player, right?
Yeah.
So there's just certain players who will do really, really well in certain circumstances and not do really well in other circumstances. And then what happens if, for example, there's I'm just making it up, right? This mm-hmm. isn't true, so don't, any listeners, don't even know. But say there's like a great big center, and I think this guy's pretty good. Well, let's get him. And so I get him, and I bring him to our team right now. Well, we've got Sasha, we've got Sam Bennett, we've got Lundell, we've got Lusterainen. Where's he going to play? But maybe on a team that doesn't have as many centers, he could step right in.
Yeah.
He comes and he gets frustrated. He's like, I came to play. I just want to play. And he's like homesick, and which is completely natural. It's not a weakness. It's, you know what? I almost respect it. like homesick. Yeah. He loves his family. What's wrong with that? So that situation wasn't optimal, where somewhere else, maybe they brought him, they plugged him in, they put him with two good wingers, you know, so it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, do you trust the numbers nowadays, from the analytics and all the data that you got from the players? Is it just about reading numbers, or do you want to see the players as he's playing?
No, it's a hybrid. It's a mix. The numbers will tell you a little bit of a story about what happened. And you can modify the numbers to kind of tell the story the way you want it to be told, some of them.
Yeah.
But you also have to understand that even the numbers that we think are more exact aren't necessarily so exact. For example, save percentage. How many shots out of 1,000 do you stop? That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And over time, it's been pretty accurate, and it generally, the guys with the higher save percentage have been performing better and are winning more games. I think that's safe to say, right?
Yeah.
But not all the shots are coming from the same place. They're not all the same shots. They're certainly not with the same defense in front of them. They're not all reflected in the same rebounds or defensive coverage on the rebounds. They're all different. And so you might have a guy who's save percentage is not as high as the next guy, but who's performing better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a great example.
In a different way, but different D forwards who don't come back. Like, so you then, so it has to be a combination, right?
Yeah.
Well, the other one I have to ask this because I've done this podcast the past 4 years with Kimmo. And now you're with us here, so I have to ask about the summer 2007. You had this short defenseman from coming out of Kuopio, and he just played in country city called Nashville, and he's in Philly with the famous Broad Street Bullies, and this short defenseman guy says to you that I need to have my money, and you end up with 6 years and 38 millions. How did you do it?
Wasn't me. lesson number one. He earned every penny he ever made.
Yeah, of course.
Philly didn't sign me to come in and play.
Yeah, that was kind of weird summer because I wanted to stay in Nashville. I was captain that year, and I never wanted to leave. We all the kids were born there, and all of a sudden I went home for the summer, and I got the call from, I think, Billy or even David Poyle said, sorry, we can't sign you. So we have traded your rights to Philly, and you have 2 weeks or something like that. I can't remember, Billy.
It was 2 days.
Oh, 2 days. They have to be quick decision if I wanted to come here or not. And then it was kind of weird few days there. But turned out to be pretty good, and I'm still here.
Yeah.
As an agent, are you sweating when this happens? You know that the guy is good. He's a great player, and you need to have a great contract for him. Are you sweating as an agent?
Oh, I think maybe a little bit. But honestly, most of the time, remember the teams like the players. They just traded for them. So you trade for the player and then you're like, well, we want to get them signed. And we want to give him a fair deal. We know he can shortly become a free agent. And we know other teams are going to want to sign him. They're not dumb. So yeah, we want to be fair and we want him to be happy and we want him to come in here and do really well. So I would say 90% of the time it's two mature parties who want the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to make it work. And even now with the cap, sometimes it's, a situation where, I mean, I've even joked with our players, I'm going to come with a spreadsheet, Excel file to the room and put the cap on the bottom and you guys fill it out and give it back.
Yeah.
You can have whatever you want. You guys just decide. We'll get it.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
because we're happy to spend it all, just, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, Kime, well, think about what, I don't know if this is the Kime glorification webcast, but when people
it's listen, always about me, babe. Come on.
He still likes to drink beer, so don't worry.
So are we going to talk about like drink specials on the terrace at the restaurant? But you know, when you think about what you accomplished coming into Liga with Kaupa, and uh-huh. I remember, you know, he's too small.
Mm. Yeah.
For how, right? And
yeah.
I remember when you were in Milwaukee and my dad saying, he has to shoot the puck, shoot!
yeah.
All the obstacles. And it was really, I mean, I think you and Ralphie, in your own way, paved the way for, you know, there were smaller defensemen who had played before you guys, but I don't know that there were guys, small, thick guys who played big, heavy minutes like you guys did.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah.
That's really something.
Yeah. Hey, let's move on from agents to Columbus time. So how did that happen? Was it Jarmo who called you and said, okay, I need you, Billy, to be my assistant GM? Or how did that happen?
I don't think he needed me. It was more like he gave me the opportunity.
Yeah.
We had been talking for years, as you know, we're buddies. And as you know, Kimo, Jarmo is a very, very, very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm smart. He's smart. And we had been talking about, hey, maybe we could work together someday in the NHL. And he had gone back to Finland and he was doing Jokerit. And the opportunity came up in Columbus for him. And, you know, maybe I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Or a little time beforehand, you know, is it something you might want to do? And I didn't know that really I would want to go be assistant GM.
Yeah.
But with him, it wasn't going to be, I knew that I would learn, I would get the exposure. And there was a lot that I needed to learn not having played.
Yeah.
There's cultural things in this league. There's experiences in that locker room. There's things you just need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Will make you. You don't have to. No, there's no question. I could have done it without having been assistant GM. I don't think I could do it as well. And we were at a time in our lives that I could take the chance. Yeah, I'm forever grateful that he gave me that opportunity.
So what was your role? I'm just trying to put this in a big picture in NHL. And when we talk about assistant GM, is it always the same similar role every assistant GM, or does it change? You know, you assistant GM in Columbus do this, but maybe in Flyers assistant GM does the different thing. Or how does it work? So,
the job description.
That's a title that's different really with every person who holds the job.
Okay.
For me, it was to support Jarmo in any way that I could. Obviously, I had some experience on the CBA side, on the contract side.
Yeah.
After a little period of time, he put me in charge of the minor leagues. He let me run the pro scouting because obviously I had done the scouting as an agent. I didn't do much amateur. which is really hard. And that's where he's excellent.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have done more and learned more from him there. We just didn't have enough time. We had to, at that point, we had to rebuild that franchise. So different people probably will play to their skill sets.
Okay.
So we have a couple guys here. We have Chubbsy. So he runs a division of scouting. He oversees all the free agents, all the North American college guys, and helps run the Euro scouting. And then Paul Kropelka does like the contracts, the admin, the business side of the hockey operations.
Yeah.
So you could do it a couple different ways. And Roberto Luongo is sort of he doesn't have the titles. I think he's special assistant. I don't know, but he has a pretty significant role as well.
Okay.
So it's different. I think each person's skill set dictates what it is that they do.
So you and Jarmo are close friends. Just out of curiosity, if there's like a tough thing to deal with, is it hard to be, because he's your boss, but at the same time, he's your really good friend. Is it hard to kind of be there? Because you know what I mean, like boss versus friend. And when you have to deal like a tough subject or the player or argument, was it tough?
Oh, we would argue all the time.
Yeah.
For some
reason I can see that.
Yeah. It wasn't hard because he was the boss. So that was clear. And in some ways it was healthy because it would show that you were able to disagree with him.
Mm-hmm.
He would listen. But at the end of the day, he's the boss and he'd make a decision and then you'd respect it.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was, so the potential conflicts that would arise because of the friendship were really outweighed by the loyalties and the respect, I think I'm trying to think of the right word, the manner in which business was conducted.
Yeah.
So
I get that. Yeah.
It was very, very clear. He was the boss and it was the final say. So that's how it operated.
Okay.
Mostly there wasn't a lot of conflict because he would set the agenda. This is what I want. And then we would put it into motion.
Okay. So do you have any?
Yeah.
Any questions about Columbus time for Billy?
Actually, I will go further because switching from assistant GM for the GM job with the Panthers where you are at the moment. How was the how did it went? Were you afraid when you told to Jarmo that you're possibly getting the job from the Panthers organization? Or was Jarmo, did he know that, was he there with you when everything went on?
No. So in the NHL, if you want to hire someone from another team, you have to get permission.
Yeah.
So he had given me permission and it helped me quite a bit. I mean, if it's not for Jarmo, I'm not here.
Yeah.
So he knew the whole time and had supported me and really... I mean, the easiest way to put it is if it's not for him, I'm not here. So he knew the whole time. Yeah. And helped me significantly.
What was your first thought when you got the call that congrats, Mr. Bill Zito, you are the next GM of the Florida Panthers? What was your thought? Were you, crazy happy. How did you took the news? Did you get the question?
No, I got the question.
Yeah.
He's thinking. He's a deep thinker.
a chess player.
No. I'm trying to stay composed.
Yeah.
I need to put it into context for you guys. That's like making the NHL at, 55 years old.
Yeah.
But that was your dream when you got the assistant GM job, right? Yeah. You wanted to be a GM someday.
Yeah, I wanted to be a GM when I was 20.
Yeah, okay. So that my question is kind of similar. I said, I was like trying to jump into your shoes.
Yeah.
And let's say Kimo is hired as a GM of Florida Panthers today. And I go down to Florida, I go to the rink, I go to the office, and I sit down to my front of my desk. Where do you start? Well, where Bill Cito started on the first day of, when you got hired. What'd you do? Yeah.
Hold on a sec. That other question is, honestly, the first one was just appreciation for all the people who had helped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed with my wife.
I'm not sure who you are.
And my family and my kids. And I just appreciated it so much.
Yeah.
Finally, I had this opportunity.
Dream come true.
Yeah. And very filled with energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know me a little bit, Kime, so. I wasn't overwhelmed. Fear. It was with enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Then first thing I did was call Sasha.
Help me. Stay healthy.
Are you okay? Do you need anything? Yeah. You're not sick, are you?
Yeah. Well, he's a pretty good player, that guy.
He reminded me of me.
I have
missed that one.
I have the same strategy. When I have a question from hockey, it's about the young kids that I coached for under 13 years old. If it's about playing hockey or skating or shooting, I call Sasha and ask. And he goes like, do this one. Yeah, okay. This is Sasha's style. We use that one. he's a computer of hockey.
Yeah. He's, and as you guys know, as good a player as he is, he's that good of a person.
Yeah, he is.
So this is for your third year, right? I got that right.
Yep.
So the first year you had a good regular season, you made it to playoffs, first round loss, whatever. Last year was a super year. 122 points. A lot of things happened. Quenneville had to go. Andrew Brunette came in. You played unbelievable regular season. One of the best hockey I've seen for a long time. And then, first round win, Washington, 6 games, I believe. And then second round loss to Tampa Bay. So what's your thought after the season like that? Talk about last year. What was your thinking going into the summer? What do I need to do to kind of win the second round and go towards the Stanley Cup?
Well, when I first came, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a better word than plan, but we had a plan.
yeah.
Let's call it a plan.
Outline or structure or sort of... I'm trying to think of a word that's more detailed. A blueprint, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not just about winning, getting as many points as we can right now. It's trying to get the right players in place, the right systems in place, the right scouts, the right culture.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, hey, Yarmo and the guys in Columbus and JD and those guys helped me with. And something that when I told you before, you have to, I needed to exist in the NHL for a little while to catch myself up on NHL culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can get is if you're in it. So we need to move the organization towards an entity that can challenge for the cup. And like the stock market, it doesn't go straight up, right? Sometimes there's dips. Sometimes you have to take two steps forward. And it wasn't just acquiring all good players and throwing them out there. It was trying to get the right pieces at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
There were some challenges with our cap, with existing salaries. And so, you know, the season ends and then you have to kind of let your emotions subside.
Yeah.
Figure out, okay, what is our bigger blueprint? Where are we on that blueprint? Have we met those requirements that we decided at the beginning? If we haven't, why haven't we?
Mm-hmm. And,
if you don't have good reasons for doing it or if your original reasons as to when you made your plan, we're going to build the house this way, and you veered from that plan, and then you go back and you say, well, originally I was going to build the house like this. And like, okay, I was going to use concrete, and now I'm using steel. Well, I have a chance. Like, what do I need to do to keep the original plan going the way that I had intended? And if I'm going to change it, why? And that's sort of what I did in the evaluation. And we do it every day. But it was hard. We it's hard to take that emotion out of it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a strange process.
Yeah. But I can kind of imagine, because that was a super year. You know, 122 points, that's something you don't see every day.
No. And then, the thing, too, that you have to remember, it was a strange year because it was really Christmas, certainly the new year. The top eight and the bottom eight in the East were really, really defined early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the top eight teams were battling and playing hard every night because they were effectively trying to get, you know, home ice. They were trying to get playoff ranking. They were, you know, they wanted to make sure that they finished well. And
yeah.
The bottom, they were kind of out of it early. I mean, really early. So they're playing the kids and whatever. So I think a lot of those points might have been stratified. And the other thing about it was, I think we had 25 points, 3-on-3, you know.
Something like that, yeah.
3-on-3. So we got a significant number of, here, hold on a sec. There's an overall record here.
But my kind of the question is, because we're moving forward to this year, and we know the big trade, the coaching staff change. So after last year, I don't know how much you can tell us about the listeners about the trade, but what was that one of the things you figure out after last year? Is that, okay, I got to make a change here.
Well, the particular trade, and it's been written about quite a bit.
Yes.
I think it caught, you know, everybody by surprise, right? Is how is this 24-year-old guy available? So we get through the trade, and you know, you got to give to get.
Yeah.
So, in our estimation, it was just a unique opportunity to get a special player at a young age, cost yeah. control that fits in, and so age, cap, contribution, style of play, ability to contribute. You know, you just you everything comes together. And does this make sense? Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And so now we we're in a little bit of a transition where our guys are learning new systems.
Uh-huh.
And it's been strange. We started out and on the data side, you know, we're number one in shots. We're number one in slot shots. We're number one in shot slots against. Number one in expected goals, but we're not getting any points. You know, we're hitting posts. We're we're losing on flukes. Now, or, you know, recently, now we had a little bit of a flu bug. The guys are tired. We have an injury bug. We could have seven guys out tonight. Sasha was out for a while. But this happens. This happens to teams, and this is where we have to, you know, no excuses. We have to
Round
and we have to figure out ways to win when things don't go our way. That's part of the problem.
And you don't have to say it, but I can. I think your goalies, both the goalies have to play better. That's my opinion.
That's your take.
That's my take about your team right now. I know every team, I remember my career, every team goes through the injury list, you know, you have flu, and like you said, no excuses, but it's tough. But if your goalies are not playing the level they're supposed to play, there's no chance of winning. And I really think your goalies can play better. That's my opinion.
Yeah, everybody can play better. And it's funny, too, because you look at it, you know, go back and look at your career. And, you know, there's ebbs and flows to everybody's season, especially 82 games, right? Like, there's ups and there's downs and there's, you know, there's fatigue and learning. You know, everybody's learning the new system and it's the timing of it too. Like, when the team is a little bit sluggish,
you know,
everything is timing. Timing is everything, but, no matter who does what, no matter who's sick, whatever, as a team, look, there's only really one real judge, and that's the standings.
Yeah. So, and you know what? The opposite team don't care if you have seven guys sick. They come in and play. They're ready to kick your ass. So there's no, you can't go really, like you said, no excuses. You can always say, okay, we have seven guys sick or injured, but the other team don't care. So it doesn't matter. You win or lose. Yeah, you win or lose.
And we, you know, we talk about, oh, well, we hit three posts. You know that guy, Tage Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't hit the post.
Yeah.
Right, like, Ovi, Temu, they didn't hit the post.
Yeah.
All right. You know, you want to be good? Don't hit the post.
So with that, you know, Paul Maurice, one question about him. He never coached me, but he's been a link for a long time. When you make a coaching change, is that more like you looking for, you know, new culture, more experience, new system? What is it about when you make the change?
So Paul Maurice is a guy who has a ton of experience.
Mm-hmm.
When we went through the process, he jumped off the page. We had about seven different people, a wide range of NHL experience, a wide range of personality and character. They weren't sharing their opinions initially,
mm-hmm.
just listening, and was one of the guys for whom each person was blown away by the way his outlook meshed with our group and with our original blueprint and how he approached the game, what our needs were based upon our core personnel. And quite frankly, he's been tremendous. He communicates very, very well. He teaches well. It's a work in progress for our guys to adapt to the new system, adapt to the different things and the changes, but it's coming along, and I'm not just saying it because I'm the GM. I do believe it.
Yeah. Hey, talk about coaching staff and coaches, and this is kind of like a hot topic in Finland. When do we see the first Finnish head coach in NHL? Now you have Tuomo Ruttu there, and you know Jukka Jalonen won everything in Finnish hockey, Finnish national team and stuff. How do you see like a Finnish coaching? When that might happen, and would you hire a Finnish head coach someday?
You know I would, right? Like
what do you need to have as a Finnish coach to be coaching in NHL? What do you need to have? How do you see it?
Oh. Yeah, like, oh, he's from Finland. He can't be a head coach. It's going to happen. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the timing. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know. But, I mean, Alpo did it.
Yeah, right? Way back. Yeah.
So, there's certainly, it's, I don't know who and when and why the next guy is, but it's going to happen for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But you think it's more about learning the culture of NHL, the systems stuff, or the language?
What do you think?
I think it has to be, as a player, if I had a Finnish head coach in the NHL, the language has to be pretty good. When you run team meetings, you know, the system meetings, the English has to be good enough, especially when you have a rough times with the team. You have to run the meetings. You have to run 45-minute meetings in English and make sure what you try to come across, it comes across. So that's the biggest thing. And I think there are culture differences about the game, the small ice surface, so on. But I really think the Finnish coaching style would fit NHL really good. So I see it happen someday.
I think the language... Yeah, and
I also think that, you know, the guys who played in NHL and kind of went through the system and the culture and know what 82 game season are, I think they have advantages coming here. Let's say Olli Jokinen and Tuomo Ruttu, these guys, because they know what NHL is. So I think they're one step ahead, even if Jukka Jalonen has won everything and he's probably knows anything about hockey, but I think because the players have played here and seen the 82 games and culture, they have an advantage.
Yeah. And then how much of it too is just about people?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, maybe Yuka's magic is he just knows he can just look at the guy and make him comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or before he can just talk to a player and say, you know, you got this, buddy. It's okay. You know? So how much of that is getting the group together and building the team and getting the group to respond? But I think for sure it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I have one question here still for as GM. When Bill how close you're following the AHL and your team there, Charlotte, because you have three Finnish players playing in AHL, and I come from Tampere, and I sit in talk now in Tampere, and Anton Levci signed with your team, and now he's played 20 games in AHL, and every other hockey people in Finland is asking me when Anton is going to play his first NHL game. How do you follow these things, and where do you make those decisions if he is good enough for NHL or he's not?
So he's played 20 some games. He's been out for about the last 10 days with a little bit of a flu. I hope he's back in this weekend. We have a very, very tight and close relationship with the farm team. We have a senior management person at every game. So we haven't missed yet. I've been there live once. So I went in and saw a couple games. We watch every game, you know, of course, on video. We get a report after every game. So between the live viewing from our senior management, our scouts, our discussion with the coaching staff, and then our own viewings, we have pretty thorough coverage.
Yeah.
Anton is doing great. It takes a little bit when you come. I know it's a little harder, especially for the older players. There's a stigma attached to the AHL. Like, oh, wow, you know, I'm on the farm. It's not that good. It's pretty good hockey. And I would imagine that he's going to get his chance at some point. And we look forward to seeing, you know, what it is that he can do. So,
yeah,
you know, the idea was not to sign him to play on the farm. The idea was to sign him to see, you know, what does this guy have? What can he do? He's a dynamic goal scorer. I don't know if you checked any highlights. He scored a
couple. Yes, I've seen those.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun. Of course, we get the Tampere updates from our local Tampere scout, Mr. Markov.
Yeah. They're pretty close friends.
They're buddies. Heppo Niemi has been fantastic. Great player, smart. You know, he continues to battle and to get his opportunities.
Yeah.
Santtu Kinnunen has been a very, very great surprise. Puck moving, smart. Actually getting pretty aggressive as far as his confidence in when to commit, when not to commit, and getting comfortable with the North American game. And we're very, very happy with him as well.
Well, that's a great reporting scout from the Finnish players. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, hey, how do you feel? How do you see Florida as a, you know, I played there many times, and the attendance are what they are sometimes. How do you see Florida as an NHL city moving forward, let's say 15 years down the road?
Well, the dream or the goal, and I believe this, is we're really, really blessed with a committed owner whose dream it is to turn this into what we've called a destination franchise.
Yeah.
Our goals, when we talked about that blueprint, one of the goals is we want players to want to come here. So we're always going to live in a cap world. It's going to be hard. We always want to be competitive, and we want to be able to build a franchise where when free agency happens, our phones are ringing.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying, can I come? And okay, well, let's see how we can fit you. And in order to do that, we have to control everything that we control and do it right. So we need to create excellence off the ice. We're building a brand new practice facility downtown by the water. We need to, you know, we started a brand new sports science department. It's really, really cool to help the players evolve and be the best athletes they can be.
Mm-hmm.
A whole mental health sports science, and not just sports science, but just regular mental health, just helping people get through being human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Family, we partnered with hospitals. We have concierge pediatrician coming on board so that something happens, you go right. Like all these little things we're trying to put together. On top of that, our fans have been unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
The season tickets are up. The business guys are cranking. Sponsorships are up. Everyone seems to, for sure, there's a hockey community here.
Okay.
What we need to do is be consistent in our, in win consistently, compete consistently, and make sure that we, you know, that our hockey product, you know, we're going to ebb and flow. We're going to go up and down. We're not going to have 122 points every year.
Yeah.
But long as we, so long as we do our work and put a quality product on the ice that works hard and competes, it's going to be a, it's going to be a destination franchise.
So when the free agency starts July 1st and I give you a call, you better answer because, you know, I'm making my contract, all right?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, Antti, have anything else? That was my...
The last question is as a whole, as a Florida hockey community, how much did it help, Bill, when Tampa Bay Lightning won two Stanley Cups in a row and ended up in the finals last season with the Avalanche? They are northern part of the Florida area, but still it's the same place and just about the knowledge of hockey in Florida. How much did he help in a whole picture, the Lightning being there 3 years in a row?
You know they beat us, right?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But I'm looking at the big picture, not about single series.
No, you're rubbing it in now. Hey, is Harry Kane your next guest or what?
No. That's a good one.
He's my favorite guy.
but when the Lightning is doing great, you're getting more people to the stands.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
For sure. It's great on a lot of levels. The more we can grow the sport, the more interest we can get in hockey in general, the bigger our rivalry can be. We have great cooperation with them. Their management team, Matthew Darche and Julien Brisebois, are excellent hockey men and excellent human beings. So, in fact, our first year, Charlotte, our farm team didn't operate because of COVID, so we shared a farm team with them.
Yeah.
A few people think about that. So the cooperation and growing our game together is excellent. And you're right. It's great for our sport. It's great for the footprint of hockey in our state. And we'd like to turn the tables and get some of the hardware down here.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. But when you're competing against the Lightning, I root for your team.
Thank you. You just did.
But Billy, we really appreciate coming to our little show and good luck rest of the way. Get some wins and tell Julia I said hi.
I will.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, okay. Billy.
Moi.
Mä luulen, että siinä oli niin paljon asiaa tänään, että me ei edes jauheta sen enempää muusta.
Joo. No se voidaan mainita tähän loppuun, että sitä eilistä vähän, että se on ihan mielenkiintoinen varmaan uutinen, että hyvä, että Kraken otti eilin joukkueeseen ja toivottavasti Eeli saa siellä nyt vähän uudenlaisen näyttöpaikan ja totta kai Eelin se pelaajana pitää käyttää se näyttöpaikka, että eihän siinä muuta ja varmaan Jesse Puljärvi on tällä hetkellä samassa tilanteessa, että uutta seuraa etsitään.
No siitä me voidaan...
Ja tekisi varmaan hyvää.
Kyllä, me voidaan Jessestä vielä, kun ennen joulua yksi jakso tehdään, niin voidaan tota Jessestä puhua siinä. Siinä sitten enemmän. Joo. Mä sen verran voin sanoa, että mä Eelin kanssa vaihdoin vähän viestiä treidin jälkeen. Ja Eeli oli tosi tyytyväinen, että pääsee uuteen paikkaan ja saa uuden mahdollisuuden. Niin hän oli iloinen tästä muutoksesta ja toivotaan, että se kantaa, kun hän pääsee tuonne. Oli Seattle Reeneissä jo eilen, mutta ei ollut pelaavassa kokoonpanossa vielä, kun ilmeisesti paperiasiat ei ollut mennyt ihan loppuun asti. Mutta oli siellä Reeneissä jo mukana ja oli itse tyytyväinen asiaan, niin sehän on niin kuin tärkein asia tässä kohtaa, että pelaaja tuntee näin ja hän toivotaan, että hän myös paikkansa käyttää.
Ja se on just näin, että minunkin uran aikana on siis kymmeniä pelaajia. Mä oon pelannut joukkueessa, jos joku pelaaja ei pääse ihan rooliin tai ei onnistu. On saanut näyttöpaikka, mutta ei vaan onnistu. Ja sit saa näyttöpaikka jossain muussa joukkueessa, niin se onnistuu siellä. Että tämä on hyvinkin mahdollista, että tästä se vielä nousee Eelin urahan.
Joo. Mutta näillä me...
Ei mulla muuta.
Ei muuta. Näillä me mennään, otetaan ennen joulua vielä yksi jakso ja katsotaan vaikka syyskauden onnistujia ja vähemmän onnistujia, joukkueita ja pelaajia sitten siinä jaksossa. Mutta tällä kertaa meillä oli Bill Zito ääniyhteyden kanssa. Hänelläkin oli vähän flunssaa, että se oli sinnekin päässyt puraseen. Mutta toivottavasti saadaan selvää. Mä yritin täällä säätää niin paljon, että ääniraita ainakin liikkui. Niin jotain tuli narulle, niin se on hyvä asia se. Ja tällä mennään eteenpäin. Hei. Kiitoksia.
Vili on hieno mies.
Ja erittäin hieno mies. Ja hyvä shakin pelaaja, kun miettii puhuessaan.
Se kyllä miettii kyllä koko ajan. Se on aina ollut semmoinen, että se niinku pohtii kaikkea. Tavallaan niinku, silloinkin agenttina, kun olin, mä muistin, kun me käytiin neuvotteluille läpi, niin se saattoi olla niinku monta minuuttia hiljaa. Ja sitten se sanoi, että hei, how about this idea?
Joo,
just. Se on tämmöinen pohtija tyyppi.
Joo, niin on, kyllä. Ja se hänelle sallitaan.
Kyllä.
Hei,
kyllä.
Kiitoksia. Hyvää viikkoa sinne Filiin. Palataan viikon päästä. Moro.
Kiitos samoin. Moi.
Autosi ansaitsee täydet pinnat. Palkitse siis itsesi ja autosi turvallisilla Michelin kesärenkailla. Valikoimastamme löydät myös pätevät vaihtoehdot budjettiluokkaan. Katso lisää euromaster.fi.
Euromaster. Renkaat ja autohuolto.
Ruusteinin täytetyt pikkuleivät ovat kuin kotona leivottuja, suussa sulavia herkkuja, joista kukaan ei oikeasti usko, että ne ovat gluteenittomia. 4 uskomattoman hyvää makua. Toffee, mansikka, kuningatar ja tropikalla. Ruusteinin täytetyt pikkuleivät. Pientä hyvää elämään.
Leipomo Ruustein. Maku vie mukana.